Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Monday morning. I hope everybody is having a good day today. 72 degrees outside, and it's pretty pleasant out there so far. Supposed to get up to a high near 90 today here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. And we do have a special guest in studio. We have Tricia Purdon from the Montgomery County Action Council. How are you doing this morning, Tricia?
I'm good, other than allergies. I'm great.
Yeah, you said allergies are kind of going through the house right now.
Yeah.
So you're wearing a mask to be safe just in case. Yep. It could be something else. But me, I was coughing earlier, but that's because I ate my breakfast entirely too quick this morning. I was just like wolfing it down like a shovel. All right. Well, kind of a big thing going on right now that will concern a lot of people is the CDBG grants that, I guess they're due on July 19th. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, they'll be due July 19th. They open up this Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the morning. So this is for any business, with the exception of a few, if you're a multi-level marketing type business that, sells like Avon or something like that, those aren't eligible. But pretty much any business, sole proprietors and up, and less than 50 employees are eligible for this grant. It is a grant. We were awarded this grant from Kansas Department of Commerce as part of the CARES Act. And that funding, we received $132,000 at Montgomery County, basically $132,000 for business grants for Coffeyville, Independence, and Montgomery County. So pretty much any business in Montgomery County with 50 or fewer employees are eligible.
So that's going to be a good thing for a lot of the small businesses around here. And what goes into these CDBG grants? How do people apply for them, and what do they cover pretty much?
Yeah, this grant is unfortunately pretty complicated. So I'll walk through some of the requirements for it. First, let's walk through how to actually qualify, because it is CARES Act funding, you can't get duplicate funding. So anyone who actually received their funding through the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, they're not eligible for this grant. Anyone who received the SBA Disaster Assistance Loans, those 7A loans that pays your loan payments for 6 months, you're not eligible. Pretty much anyone who received SBA funding of any type, unless it's PPP, and there is one small exemption there, but if you received any other funding due to coronavirus, you're ineligible, unfortunately, for this grant. However, if you receive PPP funding, you still can get funding through this program, but you can only use this grant for inventory. So part of the qualifications to get this grant is you do have to submit invoices and receipts for how you're going to use the funding.
So the inventory is basically like stuff that, that when you're ordering stuff for your store, basically you can only use that money for that, correct?
Exactly. So let's say that let's use MV Salon for an example, because they're going to have a special circumstance where you have the owner as the business and they need to purchase inventory for everyone that is general use. But then you have stylists that are renting booths. The business owner can only apply for themselves and any employees that they have. So each one of those stylists that would have to apply for the grant on their own as well to purchase inventory if they all receive PPP. If they didn't receive PPP and they didn't get any other funding, they can apply for, the full amount. The other issue that we're also seeing, and again, it comes through the Fed. There's no way we can change this policy. But 51% of all employees in that business have to meet low to moderate income, total household income standards. So, and this is complicated. So let's say, let's use Ace Hardware for an example. Okay, so they have, I guess we need to use a bigger business, Sectam, that has 50 employees or less. So they have 50 employees. 30 of those employees are not at risk of losing their jobs if they don't receive funding. So they're safe. There's nothing that's going to happen. They're safe with their jobs. But let's say that 20 of those 50 employees are at risk of losing their job unless they receive some sort of grant funding or some sort of funding from the federal government. They only have to income qualify those remaining 20 employees. 51% of those 20 employees have to be low to moderate income households. And when I say that, I mean that their adjusted gross income for their entire household. So you look at your 2019 taxes, your AGI number for the entire household. So, and that includes anyone who's over 18. So if your 16-year-old is bringing home some income because they're a lifeguard, that doesn't count towards that. But okay, it's you and your spouse or your partner, your total household income, and that's the number. If you fall below that 80% income, moderate income in number, so it's about, for a household of four, I think it's like $57,000 or something like that. If you make less than that, then you count as a qualifier. So that means 11 people have to qualify for, using the example of SecTam, I don't know how many total employees they have here, but if 11 of those employees qualify, the entire business then qualifies for this grant.
Okay.
And they could apply for it. So it is complicated. It's very complicated. And because of that, we wrote out all of these frequently asked questions. We have lots of information that we put on our website. And then when the application goes live, we used a SurveyMonkey tool to try to keep people from having to fill out an entire form and then find out later that they're disqualified. Because there's nothing more obnoxious than spending 30 minutes on a form and then turning it in, and then you get an email, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for this.
And oh, you're my like, God. Oh, really?
So obnoxious. So what we did is we're using SurveyMonkey. And so if you happen to click one of those boxes that says, you know, that automatically disqualifies you, let's say you're on question number three and it says, have you received EIDL funding, and you pick yes, it automatically sends you to disqualification page. So you don't have to fill out the 25 questions that are in this application.
Right.
We tried to keep the application as simplistic as we possibly could, but the state of Kansas required that we had a lot of data in here because they will receive all of this information. The other caveat of this, and again, that makes this a little more complicated, it's not the employer filling out these low to moderate income housing qualification forms. The employer needs to provide these forms to all of their employees that they say are their at-risk employees, or we call them retained. That's the state word that they're using. So retained employees, those 20 employees that potentially could be at risk. Now, an employer can go ahead and... a little loophole here that's built into the system. An employer could have all 50 employees fill out that form, and I guess they technically could cherry pick those employees.
Right.
Okay, I got to 11 employees here. They could say four employees are at risk, and three of them have filled out their LMI, and they come from AGI households.
Right.
So technically, there is some wiggle room that a business owner can do. That business owner just needs to give me a letter that says, hey, only these four employees are at risk, and three out of the four are low to moderate income, and so therefore a whole business qualifies. So there's definitely some wiggle room in there. They just have to send me a signed letter that says, okay, I have 46 employees that are not at risk, and I have four that are, whatever that number ends up looking like. So I need that, and then I need the LMI worksheets from every employee that you're saying is at risk. And those all can be confidentially emailed to me at admin@actioncouncil.com. And those will stay completely confidential. They will not be part of the public packet or anything like that. What we'll do is me and my assistant will go through all of those forms, attach those to a business, and say, here's the total number of LMI worksheets we received. We'll match that with the letter that we get from the employer that says, this is how many employees that you should have received certification letters on. And then we'll match that with their application once we receive their application. So it's going to be a lot of paperwork for Mac because we're helping all three organizations do this. So we're excited to do that as a service to our cities and to all of the businesses in Montgomery County. But it's going to be a long and arduous process. So if you don't see me for a while, it's because I'm buried in paperwork.
Right. And and again, you said the website does have some frequently asked questions on this, because
yes,
I'm sure there will be a lot of frequently people are like,
yes,
I'm not sure about this. So and so that'll be on the Mac website, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So the website is, and you can walk them through it, and hopefully this is recorded so they'll understand this, but It's actioncouncil.com. And then we have a page for COVID-19 resources. And on that dropdown, it says CDBG CV grant. That's the page that you need to go to. That's when the application will go live. That application is used for all three entities. The LMI worksheets are on there. The frequently asked questions are on there. And the basic requirements for who's eligible is also on there. So I apologize for the background noise.
Oh,
I
no,
have
you're
my 3-year-old with me today.
You're fine. You're fine. Believe me, I know how I knew how it was when my kids were that age. You'd be like, stop.
Yeah. It's hard in the summertime. You can't get them out the door before 7 a.m. That's
very
hard.
True. So, and again, these the applications for the CDBG grants begins Wednesday, correct?
Yep. Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And so applications will close at midnight on July 19th. That gives us a full week for our review committees to go through all of those applications. And then the taxing entities for each one of those prospective organizations has to approve the final total. So we'll have a full week then to allow our city commissions to review those applications. Again, we'll put it together so it's confidential, but it'll know the business, you know, who the business is, if they qualify, and the amount that they are requesting. So speaking of that, it's $35,000 maximum for businesses with 50 or fewer employees, or basically 6 to 50, and then 25 maximum for 5 or fewer. Now, that's not meaning that you're going to get $25,000 for your business, because that means, like, what, 5 businesses will get grant funding. What we're going to do is, when that application period closes on July 19th, we will figure out how we can make sure that every business that's eligible gets as much funding as we could possibly allocate for all those businesses. So this is a one-time window. I don't anticipate that we will not fund the entire $32,000 for each one of those taxing entities. We do have at least 6 months to do it, but we know businesses are hurting now. So we want to get that funding out, all of it, right now.
Absolutely. So good stuff there with the CDBG grant. There's a few couple things coming up. You said that some coming up in July, and also the golf tournament in September.
Yep. So July 30th is our big annual meeting. That's where we award our business of the year, our entrepreneur of the year, and our basically community spirit award. So we're really excited for that. We're going to have the Kansas Bankers Association president come down, or president, their executive director, because Mike Avey is our current Kansas Bankers Association president. But they're going to come down and kind of talk to us about the economic impact we've seen across the state of Kansas, and how our businesses are faring according to a banker's perspective. And then September 11th is our annual legislative golf tournament. I can't stress how important this golf tournament is going to be, one, for MAC, but two, I mean, given what's going on and how we're probably going to be structuring legislative sessions next year, I'm guessing our legislators are really going to be hitting it hard even in the fall this year. So it's a good time to really talk to your legislators about the issues, especially regarding coronavirus and how it's impacted your business, supply chain, things like that, to really make sure that the legislature understands what's happening in our business community. So it's really going to be an important time to really network with those policymakers, but then also to just get some fresh air and meet with your friends.
And have a little fun. You know?
Have a little fun. It's a really fun tournament.
Get out to there to the golf course and swing away.
Yep. So all that stuff will be posted on our website this week too, so everyone can start registering and getting their sponsorship set up. And we're really excited. You know, MAC, we've done a lot, especially during coronavirus, to try to make sure that everyone's safe and has all the money they can possibly be eligible for. And so we really want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to just kind of hang out with us at MAC. So we're a fun group.
All right, Tricia. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and telling us about the CDBG grants. And this interview will be up on our website, kggfradio.com. If you missed any of it, you can go over there and check it out. So, Tricia, again, thank you so much for coming in today, and I hope you have a great day. And we will see you next time.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Coming up here at the top of the hour, we have some news for you from Fox, and also some local news with Connor Harbutt. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.